Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do it for HowStreet. Yes, 50% off any of our newsletters at VRTrader.com. That's Victor Robert, VRTrader, T-R-A-D-E-R.com. And use the promo code 2022, half off. And you can sign up for any of our newsletters. And speaking of my newsletters, I always make the disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice to keep the regulators happy.
Mark, what would you describe the stock markets as right now?
That's an interesting question. How would you describe them? Yeah. You know, the general opinion is everybody is still super optimistic about the markets and the future, despite a whole slew of reasons why you shouldn't be or they shouldn't be. Naivety is probably a good adjective, because they feel they're going to be bailed out by the Federal Reserve at some point when they start supposedly lowering rates. We're going to have a soft landing in the economy. Everything's going to work out with Ukraine and China. We don't have to worry about COVID because they'll come up with some other vaccine they'll make you take. Whatever it is, they're just super optimistic. And maybe with, a presidential election coming up next year, and the fact that we do have that plunge protection team out there that Ronald Reagan initiated decades ago, you know, maybe their game is right, that whatever hits you, it doesn't mean anything because it'll come bouncing back. And, I don't share that view, but I'm a trader and I try to follow what's happening. One of the big surprises just recently is everybody gave up on energy and crude oil, and suddenly it took off and, got into the mid-80s. Maybe it's going to go back to 100. Nobody expected that on the street. And unfortunately, there's sort of an inverse relationship between, historically anyway, between energy, crude oil, and the stock market. And generally, when energy and crude oil go up, stocks go down. So a little pullback we had here just recently was because I think the uptick in crude oil, and I don't feel that the move in crude oil is overall over. It might pull back a bit, but more is coming with energy. So that doesn't paint a very rosy picture for a general comment, of course. There's always exceptions with individual stocks. We can talk about a lot of individual groups that are acting better, but that's not good for the overall market. So, they're naive a little bit about everything going to work out just fine. And, economic reports come out, are believed. I don't believe any of them. The government changes the reports, revises them, contradicts themselves on the reports. Frankly, I don't even believe half the earnings reports companies themselves put out. A lot of it is front-running. They lower their estimates of earnings, and they come out with a better one afterwards, so the stock goes up, so somebody makes money on that. So, it's a game, and you know how to play the game. So the game right now is, what can I say about the short term? We're in September, which is traditionally the worst month of the year for stocks, and sometimes carries into October, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Now, when you say companies, fudging the numbers a little bit, until they change the regs, I'm not sure the year 40, 50 years ago. It was illegal for executives in a company to trade their own shares, wasn't it?
Gee, it's insider trading is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I think they can trade or buy and sell their own stocks. They just have to disclose it. You know, if there are these reports you have to file that indicate that company insiders are buying and selling shares. It's when you jump in and do something ahead of news that the regulators don't like. Speaking of insider shares, I probably am all the way on the other side of the fence on this one, but I remember Milton Friedman decades ago, the great economist, actually came out and said he disagreed with all the laws against insider trading. He says it's anti-competitive, it's anti-capitalistic. And nobody ever said anything much about it because the whole mentality is, yeah, you can't be an insider and make any money. Meanwhile, the truth is all the money is made on the inside, starting from the top of the government all the way down, and has always been that way and always will be. So these laws were created, you know, just to make it look, quote-unquote, more of an honest profession. But, you know, you could find out that some government agency is going to I guess a good example would be, you know, your city council, for example, going to rezone some property, and you get some inside information that that's going to happen ahead of time, and you go buy some property next door and you make a lot of money on it. Well, since that's not a security that's trading, you can probably get away with it. So in normal life, business contacts, your efforts on your own part is all sort of inside activity. You're working to build your business, make contacts, do stuff, get privy to information, and the whole insider trading thing is nonsense. So I agree with Milton Friedman on that one, even though nothing's going to change with the laws and everybody seems, that's the worst thing to do, to have some, you know, inside information on something. So anyway, I think Milton is on the right track. He said it'd probably be decades before it ever changes, but ultimately it probably will when the realization comes that it's just a bunch of nonsense, because it happens anyway.
The BRIC company or countries appeared to be just a consortium to attack U.S. dollar trades, U.S. dollar loans. How strong is the U.S. dollar right now? Are the BRICs having an impact on it?
Dollar is strong, and it's hurting the precious metals, and the commodities, with the exception of crude oil was down a little bit in trading today, Thursday, and had run up so much it's probably have a little bit more of a pullback before it goes higher. But yeah, the strong dollar is frustrating a lot of people. Interest rates are going up here in the U.S. so money is flowing in this direction, and that's a real bugaboo for traders who were depending on a lower dollar. Particularly those in the commodity sector. So yeah, I don't know if it's BRICS that's causing it. You know, I think it's higher rates. I think there's a lot of tension and uncertainty in the world, and there's an expression that, you know, the U.S. dollar is the last or remaining horse in the glue factory before all the others go. So you park your money here. I don't think the BRICS are going to pull anything off now. They admitted about half a dozen new members at their recent meeting in South Africa, and I heard there was about 20 applicants for more people, and ultimately that's going to represent about 80-85% of the world. So at some point it will have an effect, but the dollar is not going away so fast. So, but the strength in the dollar seems to be a problem, and the increase in crude oil, again, as I mentioned a few moments ago, came as a bit of a surprise to the street. And as I also mentioned, you know, there's sort of an inverse relationship there, so that's going to continue to hurt the stock market in a very general way if it continues to go higher and higher. So the predictions that you hear in the financial media about what you should be doing with the dollar or crude oil and so forth are generally always wrong, and in this case, it proved out to be correct, because we were heavily in the crude oil sector in our newsletter with all some of the big names. And if you recall in my interviews here, going back, I think, several months, I kept mentioning Occidental Petroleum to you. I like crude oil anyway and energy, but I said to you, what Warren Buffett is buying, you should own. And sure enough, that was one hell of a re-recommendation here, because it's been moving higher, and Warren has been right. So, and he's holding. Why is he holding? Because I think I can't quote him, but I think crude oil is headed to $200 a barrel in coming years, and maybe sooner, and that Oxy is going to be worth a lot of money.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Staying with crude, OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, they're actually holding to their production limits. That's pretty rare, isn't it? Because it seems most of the member countries promise one thing and do something else.
Well, they want higher prices, that's for sure. I mean, Russia depends on crude oil, and, you know, Saudi Arabia certainly loves making more money, too. So they've been, you know, talking about doing the opposite of what Joe Biden wanted them to do for months, and, you know, in terms of cutting back on production or raising production and so forth. And so they've been looking for higher prices, and they're winning. So I think the world is sort of against us. And, you know, we could change the whole thing here. I mean, this is getting into politics a little bit, but, you know, if we had a normal political administration in this country, referring to the U.S., you would expand oil production, which would drive prices down. It would hurt the so-called enemies that we have in the world, which is Iran and Russia and so forth, or maybe even China to a certain degree. But, you know, by bringing prices down, since here in North America, Canada included, you know, we produce more oil than the rest of the world combined, and could really drive prices down if it was set free. But for some reason, we have an administration, here, at least here and possibly in Canada, that is against the free market and is aiding enemies on a certain level by cutting back production. In fact, today there was a news story, I think, that Joe Biden's crazy group was cutting back some leases in Alaska that formerly had been oil leases in Alaska that prior been approved. And that's more nonsense. So why are we doing this? You know, why are we helping Iran and Russia and everybody else and in the world? And Venezuela, I guess that's another one. Why are we helping these so-called non-friendly countries and buying oil and allowing prices to go up when we could change that readily? And the ridiculous answer, of course, is, well, we want electric vehicles. We want to get rid of crude oil and so forth. But what the stupid people don't realize is that crude oil is used for a lot more than automobiles. I think some crazy percentage, Jim, like maybe 15 or 20% of crude oil actually goes for gasoline, and the rest goes for all their type of needs and uses around the world, and products and so forth. So anyway, I'm long-winded response here, but crude at its present trajectory probably will start moving to those much substantially higher prices because of bad politics and planning and demand that's out there for a very needed product. And we're finding out that the EV market isn't as strong as everybody had hoped it to be. It's difficult charging, too long of a wait, too expensive, very few stations around. EV vehicles are expensive. Tesla's was cutting prices to sell more vehicles. You know, they jumped the gun here. They think the whole world's going to convert to their dream scenario of e-vehicles between now and 2035. It's not going to happen.
Well, the transition from the horse to the automobile, back in World War II, the Germans still relied heavily on horses to pull their artillery and supply wagons.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, so, and that's well after Mr. Daimler invented the diesel engine.
So it's cheaper, more efficient to use the horses, right?
Yes, it was, because they can just graze on the roadside. And Germany always had a fuel supply problem because they had to import their petroleum from, I don't know, countries like the U.S.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I know that they were happy to get rid of the horses in New York City the turn of last century, when I read stories about, you know, dung being piled up several feet high on the street, and the electric vehicle, not the electric vehicle, the automobile itself was a break in terms of keeping the city clean. But outside of that, I love horses, so who knows? Maybe we need to go back.
you'd have to shovel it. The original automobile was electrically powered, but it didn't have much speed or range, and using petroleum gave you a lot of energy, a lot of literal bang for the buck.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, sure.
And in British Columbia, where we rely on hydro-generated electricity, we're in a drought. And I wonder about this multi-billion-dollar Site C dam that increases in cost every year and still isn't done. By the time it's finished, there may not be any water in it.
And why is that?
Well, we keep having droughts every summer now.
Oh, okay.
Hotter and drier summers. California is getting the rain that we usually get in the wintertime.
Yeah, and they complained that they didn't have enough reservoirs to store that water, and if they had that, they would have less problems going forward. So they're planning on storage and reservoirs need some updating.
Right. We do have technical solutions for things. The people who are just adamant that any kind of fossil fuel is bad, I pointed out to the former mayor of Vancouver, he's banning natural gas. Doesn't want vehicles running on gasoline. I said, do you know how dependent we are on petroleum? See that computer there? What's a case in? Plastic. Well, where's the plastic going to come from without the petroleum? What kind of clothing you're wearing? Well, it's a polyester mix. All that polyester comes from petroleum, so you're going to have to be here. Oh, and that desk, the chainsaws that cut down that wood. What do you think they ran on? And the trucks that hauled that wood out. Nothing it would exist in your office. And by the way, the Trucking Association pointed out to me, Jim, everything you own was at a truck at some point. And big electric trucks, they're not really around, are they?
So, you know, it really gets down to a point that I make in my newsletter, and I've pounded the table for years. It gets down to mental illness. Mm. I know our good friend, my mind just went
blank.
Yeah,
they don't want to talk about carbon capture, which is getting better and better, and this push for a hydrogen society. Water vapor traps a whole lot more heat than CO2 does. Take a look at Venus and the vapor there. Of course, that's probably sulfuric acid. But still, if you want to look at cause and effect, we had a national news reporter say volcanoes rarely affect the climate. The worst extinction in world history, 98% of life wiped out, the super volcano at Yellowstone. Volcanoes really do impact the environment.
Well, whoever brings that up is not doing their homework, and I guess this gets down to the bad education system that we have, you know, at least in this part of the world, where, you know, little studying will bring you up to speed. Yeah, I've been writing about that, as you know, for the longest time. We're sitting here. We got, right now, by the way, about 45 active volcanoes on the planet. I post that in the newsletter every day. Nobody probably cares until one blows up near them. You know, we just had one down in Mexico City, for example, you know, clouding the skies. And, of course, you got the active volcanoes out in Hawaii. I mean, there's all kinds of fun stuff that, you know, changes the atmosphere, reduces sunlight, can really cause problems. Forget the super volcano scenario at Yellowstone. I mean, you know, if that happens, it's all over for all of us. That's all.
When Krakatoa blew up in the 1800s, this is, of course, Google can't be wrong, but it affected the Earth's climate. It was 2.2 degrees Fahrenheit colder around the planet for 3 years, and crops were failing everywhere because of it. Don't... I fail to see how a carbon tax can control volcanoes, changes in the Earth's orbit. Maybe, though, if you put that money into an asteroid defense system, you could help us.
Right. We're definitely going to need that. We found that, you know, our ability to control the asteroids isn't as powerful as we, you know, as we're being led to believe. So there is obviously that risk. But, you know, getting back to the carbon tax and all these issues and the EV and, you know, politicians saying stupid things, it all comes down to money. They're making money doing it, or they're constituents or their backers are making money doing. It's follow the dollar. I mean, that's what this is all about. The whole energy movement, the green movement, all this stuff's about making money. And someone's making a lot of money because of it, and they're not following the facts about, you know, science or what's really happening in terms of global warming, which really doesn't exist to the extent that they believe it does. And we do have, historical data. I mean, thousands of years ago, how the climate has changed on the planet before man was here, you know, so-called polluting the skies and so forth. So, you know, ice ages happen, come and go without us, and we're in one of those cycles now. So, yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating because, you know, I do a lot of research. I'm sure you do, too, and you read all the data, and the data is sort of ignored. You know, it's only what's politically, you know, popular and, you know, something to make sense. Let's clean up the earth and, let's tax the heck out of anybody who doesn't conform to our program. You know, it's really unfortunate. So,
well, simple solutions rarely solve complex problems. And, I don't disagree with the move to make our air cleaner and friendlier. That's absolutely great. But China, in their push for electric cars, are building 200 or more coal-fired power plants. Will those power plants have scrubbers on them to remove all the bad stuff from the smoke coming out of those plants? This is a country that has a horribly high smoking rate that's encouraged by the government because they want people to die before they're old enough to collect their pension.
Good point. The rest of the world doesn't conform to the idiocy that we hear, you know, here in the West. So, right. If you got, you know, China polluting the skies, then what's the good of having a clean U.S. when that pollution's coming to us anyway in one form or another, right? So it's unbelievable.
Mm. What's happening on the cryptocurrency space? Now we've ranted about other stuff.
Right. Well, it's a lot, exciting markets now. You know, we already discussed crude oil. The other area has been crypto, which went through a little bit of a correction, but this seems to be recovering here a little bit. I mentioned this last week. You know, you've got BlackRock company and Larry Fink trying to get that ETF passed for the Bitcoin, and looks like that'll probably happen, and that's going to drive demand or more allocation of money into the Bitcoin sphere or the GBTC ETF, or trust that now exists, will be not necessarily replaced, but be complemented by this new ETF that Fink's trying to get through. That's going to drive some support into the crypto world. So, crypto's here to stay. If you want to own Bitcoin, you probably should buy some GBTC in the meantime, which is an ETF that mirrors the Bitcoin, and then jump into the Larry Fink ETF, because once that demand is there, I mean, I think he's runs the largest money management firm on the planet with several trillion dollars under management. So Ethereum and XRP and all the others will probably follow along, you know, so that's positive. And the other action recently, as you know, has been the cannabis stocks, which some have already rallied, you know, substantially, you know, some couple thousand percent already, some of these penny ones, because of the DEA supposed rule change, rescheduling marijuana from number one down to three, which would make it equivalent to buying aspirin, I think, in the drugstore. So, that's been hot, and there's a lot of trading and activity going on, the speculation that the U.S. will, you know, change that scheduling. Some people disagree that it may not help the businesses as much, but I think rescheduling is a step in the right direction, and so that's been sort of hot for traders, and we've been participating in that a little bit, too. So what's the expression, Jim? There's always a bull market somewhere. You know, there's going to be something moving no matter how bad you think things are. You know, we can always find something, you know, like NFL football season starting here in the U.S. Tonight. And one particular little company called DraftKings, you know, which is a sports betting public company, has been starting to move up. There's a lot, you know, people like to bet on sports. And with the football underway here, that stock will probably go up. So, you know, a lot of interesting areas. Just have to sort of follow the news and, you know, check to see where we can make some money on the short-term trends that are unfolding in various sectors and markets.
Anything happening on the geocosmic front?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I checked on before we went on the air with that. You know, there's something minor going on up there. Apparently there's some sunspots that are getting worse and bigger and getting more serious that are worrying some of the sun's monitors. Apparently they're growing rapidly and they're moving, and it says there's a 25% chance of some greater solar flares and X flares and all these CMEs because of these solar spots on the sun. So that comes from spaceweather.com. You can track that yourself. It's really interesting to see what's going on there. And in the geocosmic alternate world, I posted an article. You can always see this if you subscribe to one of my newsletters. If you remember the gifted promoter psychic Uri Geller, you know, who it's been notorious out there for decades in his predictions. In fact, a good relative of mine apparently had seen and met them, and claims that he made a tremendous call in a personal meeting. So I have respect for him. Anyway, he has something he posted on his website, and we posted in our newsletter. Without getting into details, it's something you really need to see about the geocosmic world. So that's something you should follow if you get a chance to get to our newsletter. But, and there's actually some more goodies there as well, but I don't want to blow off some of our listeners now with some crazy things that are happening out there. But I do want to make a point, though, that I really haven't talked about for a while, clearly, because we don't hear about it every day in the news, but it's big stuff. You know, all the talk about the UAPs that are flying around the planet, and what that all means, and we need to do the investigation. Well, you know, I've done my research on this, and, you know, I've been doing this for decades, but the UAPs are our own creation, and my fear is they may be used in a negative way against us, meaning that the UFOs out there are probably really extraterrestrial, but the UAPs that the Navy pilots were shooting, and you've been seeing in the news, and the New York Times wrote up, these are our own creations, and they're probably, very likely re-engineered alien craft that have been have crashed on the planet. We had former CIA guy come out recently. It's been, you know, not covered big in the news, but he basically confirmed that we do have alien craft. We have reverse engineered many of them, and he goes a lot much further than that in terms of actually having aliens on the planet that we've consulted with and been involved in our technology out in Area 51 in Nevada, and on and on and on. So we have this interesting story out there, the UAPs versus the UFOs, and they're trying to make us believe that the UAPs are UFOs, and they're probably even likely two different things altogether, and I just hope that they're not misused against us in some way, you know, like an outlier event. There was always talk about you know, some type of attempt to control us or scare us in some way. You know, some people claim COVID was used that to a certain degree, but, you know, some type of event out there that would, you know, force or allow the government to, you know, take greater measures in terms of taking control. And one thing that could possibly be used are those UAPs if they start doing something unusual, like shooting down an airplane or something, which nobody would even imagine is possible. In other words, the thought would be, hey, we're under attack by aliens, which is really not the case at all. So I'm very suspicious of the fact that these were being shown, the government has released them, and there's an ulterior motive here. So I casually refer to that in my newsletter at the end, because I've done decades of research on this, and people who know me know that I have very good sources in this area. But it's real interesting what's going on out there, because in truth, this could be the greatest story of our time. And, you know, we worry about the Fed, we worry about Ukraine, we worry whether China's going to invade Taiwan, all this stuff, and it's all manipulated news. It's all because people want power, they want more control, money, but, you know, the story of what's really going on outside of our planet, and in terms of our contact outside of their planet, the fact that we've retrieved craft, and the fact that we've been in touch with extraterrestrials, going all the way back to Dwight Eisenhower, by the way. There was that incident. It actually was, there was a J. Edgar Hoover release, It was found in the Freedom of Information Act documents about his reference to getting more information on the alien flying saucers that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico. So J. Edgar Hoover himself in documents have confirmed that event actually existed, where the Air Force continues to claim that it never existed and it was a weather balloon. So this thing is such a concocted, important event to civilization on our planet in terms of the truth. It just amazes me how it's being suppressed and continues to be suppressed. And the answer is very simple, Jim. You know, the truth really is out. Government loses control and power. You know, right away, people are fearful. They can't control something that is out of their control, and it's been suppressed for a lot of reasons. So something will break, and I hope it's for the better, but this is really the biggest story out there. A lot of our technology has come because of these extraterrestrial contacts, because of the reverse engineering. I mean, it's no mistake that suddenly we've taken off in technology since 1947, since the Roswell crash, when we were able to glean a lot of this stuff. And it's not only Roswell. There's been crashes all over the planet. The Soviet Union, Russia had one, this big one in Great Britain. China's had a couple of them. So I think what's really happening, the big governments all working together secretly on the exact subject that I'm describing to you. And most of the stories that we hear publicly, whether it's invasion of Taiwan, Ukraine, are there. I'm not saying they're not real, but we're working at a much higher level with the governments regarding this extraterrestrial phenomenon that people will even believe exists. And I think that's really the big story of our time, but not discussed and suppressed. And it'll be interesting how this all plays out. But thank you for letting me talk a little bit about it, because it's a big part of my life in terms of what I know and the research I've done. And I hope I live long enough to get the real answers.
And if alien spacecraft are crashing, it shows even with the best technology, stuff can still go wrong.
Correct. Yeah, that's it. They say, how is it possible that an alien craft could have crashed? Well, you know, it's still made out of materials, and nothing is indestructible, and that could have, you know, very much be a real story that, you know, a craft could go from another galaxy here and have an accident and blow up or have a technical failure of some kind, no matter how advanced they are. The fact that we have crashed craft under our control. And again, if you go to my newsletter, there's going to be an article in there. Lockheed Martin senior scientist came out with a video exactly describing what I've been describing in the last few minutes to you before he passed away. It's a very detailed discussion, pictures. So, you know, stuff like this is not, even if you don't believe it, there's a seed of truth in any of these stories. And it's been leaking slowly over time. And the government seems to feel that they've helped us out here a little bit and given us a break by showing us some UAP pictures, when indeed all they're showing us is stuff they've created, and they really won't get down to the bottom truth. And maybe in some secret congressional hearings or secret conferences, they are being told the truth. There's a great series now. I don't know if you guys can pull up Newsmax, which is the news, one of the big news medias in this country. They have a special. It's been on Sundays several times in the last several months. I turned on the show Newsmax.com, and the title of it is UFOs and U.S. Presidents. And it's an hour discussion of how the UFO connection has affected and have been involved, and how U.S. presidents have been in contact or with them. And I almost fell out of my chair when I saw this special on Newsmax. If CNN would broadcast it, or Fox, it would probably have, or MSNBC, then maybe it would hit the audience that it really should be hitting. But it's basically an hour episode on UFOs and their connections with U.S. presidents, from Ronald Reagan to Jimmy Carter, all the way going back to George Washington here in the U.S., believe it or not. So there's an extraordinary amount of good information out there that's not being talked about, and that's why we're talking about it together today, Jim, because very few people on this network or in the financial sphere would even dare to go here. They would fear that somehow it's going to affect their reputation. Well, it doesn't affect my ability to make money, I'll tell you that. So I have fun doing it, and hopefully I can help the process along here a little bit.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us. I hope we didn't scare anybody.
Well, if we did a little bit, that'd be sort of fun, wouldn't it? Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.